Praise God. Well, we've been in a series called Not of This World for some time. Go ahead and turn to John 15. These have been our texts. Let's turn over there. John 15, verse 18. Thank God. John 15, verse 18. It says there, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Verse 19 says, you are not of the world. Look over at John 17, verse 9. These are on your sheet too. It says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Skip down to verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So in verse 19 of 15, it said, if you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember, the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. The Bible said if we were of the world, we've talked about this to some degree. We're not going to go too far into it, but we're born here. Our natural bodies are here, but being born again of the Spirit, we are not of this world anymore. Our home is in heaven. We're ambassadors here. But we're not to act like the world acts in every way. We're to be different. And notice it says, Jesus said, you're not of the world. I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world, what? It hates you. Don't be surprised. It's becoming more and more clear that the world does things different than Christians ought to, than what the Bible says. It's becoming just starker and starker by the day. You don't even have to wait years now. I mean, things are moving so fast in the wrong direction for a lot of places. But don't get me wrong, the light is getting greater. So the difference is getting more magnified. That there are revivals going on in the world. You just don't hear about them on the news, but they're going on. I appreciate when we have missionaries come and, you know, and, or, I've heard different missionaries speak in different places, conferences, and like when we had the crowds come last year, talking about the different revivals that are going around. You don't hear about them. I mean, it's spreading. The gospel is spreading. Now, here in the U.S., I believe we're making ground, and there's stuff that's getting ready to happen, but right now, you look around, there's a lot of people that are just running in the opposite direction. We've heard the gospel to a degree in this country. A lot of people have rejected the gospel, but I believe there's a tremor. There's a lot of shaking in the world right now, and people are going to be turning. There are people that are going to be turning away, but there are going to be people that are turning to God because the things of this world are so shallow, they're not going to meet the needs. People have put aside spiritual things in a large part, but we're spiritual beings, and you can't deny that part of your being for too long before your being is going to start crying out. People want to see the Spirit of God, the supernatural, whether they know it or not. Amen. That's why they're trying to replace it, trying to fill that hole with natural things. Everybody wants to believe in something. That's why you have all these causes. People will get just adamant about certain things that don't amount to anything. Why? Because it's built into a man. We want to believe. Why? Because we're made to believe in a creator. We're made to walk by faith. People want to believe something. It's just that in our society, it's been dumbed down. Well, to this, well, everybody wants to believe something. So, you know, religion, you just have to believe something. So whatever. But all the religions are the same. It just, you know, it comes out of man's need to believe. Well, men need to believe, but there is a true, and then there are a bunch of counterfeits. And even with that, people say, well, everybody says that. All the religions say it. Well, there is a true. There is a word of God. Jesus did come. He did walk the earth. He is the truth. The Bible gives us the truth. Every man has the choice to believe. But this world is getting darker, and the ways of the world are in stark contrast to the way a Christian ought to walk according to the Word. So you're just seeing the light and dark is just getting so obvious. Just more pronounced than it has. But so don't be surprised when you hear in just the main way people are doing things and the pop culture and the mainstream, the things you hear about, whether it's the internet, all these plays, movies, everything. Don't be surprised that it runs counter to the Bible, because Jesus said, he said, if you were of the world would love it, would love its own. You can clearly see that. But he said, you're not, therefore they hate you. It's not probably the thing you wanted to hear this morning, but you got to look around. It's not that hard to figure out. People aren't embracing Jesus. They're rejecting Jesus for a large part. And they're not, and you say, well, the best case is people say, well, yeah, okay, Jesus, he's just one of many. That's rejecting him. Because Jesus himself said, no, there is no other way. I'm the way. So to say he's just a prophet, that's to say he's a liar. See, there's no middle ground with Jesus. He is God. You can't have it that he was just a good person, because then that makes him either crazy. Seriously, he did not know what he was talking about. He meant well, but he didn't know what he was talking about. Because, you know, he said he was the Son of God. Well, he meant well. So he was delusional. Or he was a flat liar. He knew what he was saying was false, but he said it anyway. Or he is who he said he was. There is no he was a good man, a good, solid person, but not the Son of God. That's to contradict what he himself said. You can't count him as just a prophet. Because he said, I'm the Son of God. There is no other way. And so you have people rejecting. Well, Jesus was rejected. And so he said, people, if you were of the world, they would love you. But he said, as it is, that they hate you. But he said, verse 20, remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they would keep yours also. Amen. Amen. Well, what does that mean? Well, we better just run and hide and succumb. No. We need to stand up for the truth. We need to stand up for what is true. How do we know what's true? It's the Word. We see that. He said his Word's truth. Verse 17, John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. Set them apart by what? Your truth. How are we being set apart? Because we're doing the truth. We should be. That's what's going to set us apart. We shouldn't be afraid to do the truth. Stand up and boldly do the truth. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. The truth is what's going to set us apart. The truth is what's going to work. At the end of the day, men's philosophies will fail. Men's experiments will fail and have failed. But the Word of God is true for all time, for every circumstance, and will never fail. Amen. It will work in 2016. It will work in any country. It is not a U.S. gospel. Anything that can't work anywhere is not the gospel. Prosperity, if it's taught the way God's Word says, it will work in any country, in any economy. Amen. Period. Amen. It's not a United States thing. It's a God thing. God's Word works. Healing doesn't just work where you have doctors. Thank God. Some people think that they think the gifts of healing are doctors. No, thank God for doctors. But that doesn't replace the healing power of God. Thank God we don't have to wait for medical science to catch up. What if you have something that we don't know how to cure? What do you do then? Well, no, God is not limited. Amen. Period. Amen. What if you don't have a medical system like we have in the U.S.? What then? Well, you're up a creek? No, God's Word works. His power works. His Word is true. Period. What if nobody believes? What if the culture is saying that certain things just don't exist and going away? God's Word is still true. It will be proven to be true. And we will stand before Him. Like we were saying in praise and worship. We will stand before Him. And we're going to look back, and what we want to hear is, well done, that good and faithful servant. We're going to wish, and any time that we did not act like the Word is true will be a regret. Now, Jesus is there to wipe those tears away and to say it's all right. But I don't know about you, but now is our chance. Now is our time to run our race as and believe and run it as though God's Word is actually true. Amen. And it actually means what it says. Mm-hmm. And that's different than the world. Yes. It's in direct contradiction to a lot of the things that are going on now. Because, well, that's just a book. That's a book of stories. No, it's the written, holy Word of Almighty God. Amen. Therefore, it cannot fail. Mm-hmm. For it to fail is for God to fail. Mm-hmm. And He does not fail. Right. He does not fail. Right. He's faithful. Yes. Faithful. Yes. Faithful. Yes. He is always faithful. Never fails. His Word works. Yes. Period. Amen. We're on the right side. Always stay on God's side. Even if you don't understand, stay on His side. Stay on the Word's side. Say, well, the Word's true. Well, what about this verse? The Word's true. The Word's true. Well, I don't understand what... God's Word's true. And what He said will come to pass. If you'll stay right there, we will see it come to pass. It's when we get off and start going, well, I can't see, I can't understand. This person's saying, we got to shut that down and say, His Word is true. It will work in my life. If He said it, that's it. I believe it. That settles it. End of the story. Hallelujah. I don't care how many people say something contradictory. I don't care how many letters they have behind their name. God's Word is true. It works. It was true before anybody that's on the earth arrived on the earth. Men's opinions don't change the truth of God's Word. God knew everything we'd find out in 2016. And if Jesus, if he doesn't come back, if his coming is delayed, I believe we're obviously closer than we ever have been, but we're getting closer. And we are in the last days. But if he tarries his coming, you know, his delays his coming, and we're still here in 2030, he knows everything that's going to happen. He already knows everything. Everybody's going to find out. His word already covered everything. It's already got it covered. And he already knows what's going to happen. He's not surprised. He already knows. Now. So we ought to do what he says, because everything he says already has everything that's going to happen already considered. Now. People are going to find stuff out tomorrow we don't know now. The world's going to find things out tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Wow, did you hear the news? God already knows it now. Breaking news. It's old news to God. He already knew what was going to happen. And therefore, if you're listening to him and doing what he said, you'll be in the right position. You're already in the right position, because why? As his child, he's going to give you exactly what you need to be right where you need to be, even if you don't know what's coming. Amen. Why? Because he's a good daddy. Yes. But we have to listen to him. We got to acknowledge him. Yes. We got to esteem his word over what might be considered common wisdom. Because that changes. His word will not. People's opinion of what's good today, how you should exercise, what food you eat, changes all the time. I'm not even that old, and I've seen it change quite a number of times. Yes. Not supposed to eat this, but now you are supposed to eat. Wait, nope, you're not. Wait, this is really good for you. Wait, no, it can kill you. Wait, no, actually, there's a bit of it that's good. You don't have to live that long. Just wait and go. So when somebody says, don't ever eat that, well, we'll wait and see. It'll probably pop up on your menu pretty soon, and that's the exact thing you'll say you should eat. So what do? Just be led by God, by your spirit. Everybody's body's different. Just listen to him. You'll be okay. So no, we're not supposed to be loved by the world. That doesn't mean, you got to be hated just for the sake of being hated, just because, well, you're not hated because you're a Christian. You're hated because you're being an idiot. That's different. You know, getting somebody's face and some people blame on Jesus. They're just their own lack of common sense. You know? Well, it's because I'm a Christian. No. Whether you're Christian or not, you act like that, people are not going to want to be around you. Don't impugn the name of Jesus and throw Jesus into it. If you correct some of those things, then, people like to be around that more, and then maybe they listen to what you have to say. But we live in this world that is against what God is saying, so we have to be very careful about what we're doing. So you can't just look at what the culture's doing and say, well, I believe I'll do that too. That can be a major mistake, depending on the area. So we've been talking about this. We're not of this world, and we've gone through a lot of scriptures. We saw how that this world, why it's so messed up is because it is swayed by one called the adversary, Satan. That's literally what his name means. He's one that's against. And so, you see some of the scriptures I've included. We're not going to take time to go over them, but we've gone over them before. 1 John 5:19, Galatians 1, 3, and 5. We've been delivered from this present evil age. The whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. But there's a reason why the world's messed up. In any area that it's messed up is because that area, the world, has not been lining up with the Word of God. And we saw in John 8:31, 32 on your sheet there, Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from anything that's binding you. And there are so many things that are binding people in the world because they're not listening to the word. They're entangled with these things. And people grow up, they're entangled with the same things that their parents were. Why? Because the parents weren't doing the word in that area. You know, kids absorb. They watch us as parents. They watch the people around us, around them. Well, if it's good enough for mom and dad, if it's good enough for teachers or, you know, their classmates or whoever, well, it must be good enough. And if we don't have the reference of the Word of God to guide, that's why being in church is so important, so that we can see, we can be washed by that Word. Then you don't have any reference. Like, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, great, but the whole world is going towards a cliff. And if you're right in the middle of the group, you don't see the cliff coming. But God's Word will show you example after example. The Bible said the Old Testament's given to us for these things that happened to him, four examples. You don't have to hit the wall yourself. You can watch somebody else hit the wall in a story, in an account, in the Word, and see what not to do. And then you say, I think I'll not do that. That ended badly. And God's Word shows us what to do instead. And if we say, wait, everybody's been doing this, and my parents and my whole family does that, but wait a minute, I read in the Word where that's not what you're supposed to do. And in fact, the Bible says this will end in death. Wait a minute. Should I keep doing it or stop doing it? I think I'll stop doing it. That's different. The whole herd's going this way and you break off and avoid death. But it's not easy. Especially if you got your mind just completely in what this word is telling us and this world is telling us. They're going one way. This is the way you do it. This is what the latest studies say. Blah, blah, blah. Well, fine. But does it meet the test of lining up with the Word of God? If it doesn't, throw it out. Because eventually somebody's going to find out and realize that no matter who said it, if it contradicts the word, it's wrong. You don't have to wait to find out the follow-up study that realized something was flawed in the first study. Just go with the word and you'll be way ahead of the game. Way ahead. Don't have to go through all the flip-flops of all the diet stuff. Just be led by the Spirit. If God tells you not to eat something specific, then just avoid it. And go on, and you'll be way ahead. You don't have to zigzag with everybody else. The truth will make us free. What's the truth? The Word, like we read, is the truth, and it will make us free where we decide to let it dominate in our lives. Now, we could have heard the Word. We can know what it said. We could quote it. But if we don't let it dictate what we do, it's not going to set us free. We could have our get out of jail free card sign. We know exactly this is how I do it. But if we don't act on it, we'll sit there and we'll be bound. The truth only makes us free when we actually do it. People say, well, that's hard. How do you do it? Oh, you're saying that's, you got to really work. No. Good news is God told us what to do. And then he said, I'll help you do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, we're not saying, well, you do it and you work it out in your own strength. No, what we're saying is God told me to do this and he's just. And if he said to do it, then he'll give me the strength to do it and he'll help me do it. Otherwise, he's not just. If he told me to do something that I don't have the power to do, then that's not just. But God is just. So if he told me to do it, then my attitude ought to be, as soon as I find out about it, oh, that's what the word says? All right, I'm in. Okay. Don't have to think about it. Don't have to go figure out what other people say. If I see it in the word, okay, I'm going to do it. I can do it. But yeah, but you don't know. You've had that. You've come against that for 18 years. How are you going to get out of that? You need to go to this program. I'm not against programs, but if God said that I can get out, period. I can be free. I can do it. Yeah, but that's been in the habit that your parents and your family's been dealing with that habit. They've never been able to break that. Yeah, but the power of God will help. The power of God will supersede anything that anybody's had problems with if we'll yield to it and say, if God's word says it, then I can do it. Amen. Yeah, but nobody's ever gotten out of that. People, the experts don't know what to do. Who, what experts are we talking about? Because experts are changing every day. And what is impossible today for experts, 2 months, it's possible. What was impossible for experts 100 years ago, we do every day. That's right. We do it every day. People, what they could not do, did not know how to do it, not even an issue now. Well, God's way ahead of the curve.
Yes, he is.
We don't have to wait for experts to get caught up. We just do what God said. God knows how to get me free. I believe he knows what he's talking about. He said, I can do that, I can do it. Well, you can't do that. Oh, yeah, I can. He said I could. Yeah, but you can't. No, if he said I could, I can. See, that's the key to freedom. He told me I can do it. The word will set you free, right? The truth will set you free. He said I could do it. I can do it. Watch me. I like what Mrs. Hagin says. Hide and watch. You don't think I can do it? Hide and watch. Praise God. God's word's true. You believe it? So we, the word that we put into practice, that's what's going to set us free. Ephesians 4, 17 then, we got into, why don't you just look on your sheet, Ephesians 4, 17 says, this I say, therefore, or you can take the time to turn over there. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work uncleanness with all greediness. See, you see a picture of the world, the people without God. This is where you end up. But he said, we're not supposed to be like that. We shouldn't walk like the rest of the world. We're supposed to be different. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new mind which was created according to God, a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, we touched on that some last week. The new man is the created being. When you became born again, if you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, something happened on the inside of you. Nothing happened to your, usually nothing happened to your natural man, your body. Nothing happened to your mind, but your spirit became new. You're a new creation. Well, it says here, you put off concerning your former conduct what the world does, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now it says here, you put on, you put off the old, put on the new. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's turn over to Romans. You have that on your sheet, but if you're just turning, hold your place in Ephesians. Turn over to Romans, because I want you to see these two together. Romans 12, verse 1. Praise God. Romans 12, verse 1. Everybody there? Let's go in there. So it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. What's conformed? You be like everybody else. Conformed to this world. It says don't be. Don't be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. See, don't be conformed. Just don't do what everybody else does. People that don't have the word, don't have God, don't, you know, thank God for what we learned, maybe. I mean, I don't know what your family situation was. There are some certain things probably you can be thankful for. If it was a complete disaster, then, you know, well, thank God you know Him now. If you can't redeem anything out of the situation, but most people have something they could be thankful for with their family. But, you know, likely they were doing the best they knew how to do with what they had. Most people are. Most people don't intentionally decide to mess up their lives or to go in a different direction. But people, obviously being human, make mistakes. Parents make mistakes. There hasn't been a perfect human parent yet. And so, you know, your family, you had influences that weren't completely godly. Well, acknowledge them. Be thankful for the things that were good, but just go past the things that aren't and decide you're going to follow the Word of God. You're not going to be conformed with the way the world does stuff, but you're going to be transformed, or you're going to be changed into something different. See, you may have been on this track. If you stay with your current thinking, and this is true for all of us, no matter where we are in life, if we stay on our track of thinking, we're going to get what we have now. Not more, not better, but not necessarily less, but you're going to stay on this track unless you change something. Well, depending on what that track is, this track may not end very well if you stay on it. Could be where you know you've made some adjustments already. It's going pretty well. But what we want or should want is God's best. And you know what? That's going to take some course correction. Because there's not a person in here that has arrived. None of us have arrived at Christian perfection, and we're just walking everything in our life. We just do it exactly all the time. That's not a bad confession. That's the truth. This life is a journey. It means you're making course corrections all the time. You should be. I'm not saying they're major. I'm saying they're adjustments. You're dealing with something, but you're working on it. Ah, shouldn't have said that. Lord, I'm going to do that better. And you keep getting better to where you look back, all of a sudden that thing has fallen off. You're past it. You're not dealing with that. You've moved on to something else. And God's so kind, He's not going to deal with you about everything all at once. Thank God. Because it would just crush us. Oh my gosh, I didn't even see that. How am I going to, I've said that. He's so kind, He'll just say, work on this part. Can you get this? And once you get that, hey, how about this? You see in this? Well, no, I didn't see that. Well, here's what it says in my word. And as we change and as we agree with Him, we'll just keep getting stronger, and our path just keeps getting to where the destination is more and more and more like Jesus. Things that we were dealing with before, we're not dealing with them. Why? We're on a different path. You know, we were on one path, and every time we'd hit this run part, oh man, I want to avoid that, but just can't keep myself. And every time we'd see it coming, and we were like, oh man, here it comes. I want to try it. We'd try to get around it. Boom, we'd hit the same thing. But you know what? I don't even take that road anymore. I'm over here. I don't even see that. You know, got to where I'm going down this road. I'm not even going to see that. I don't even think about that anymore. I'm on a different road in that area. Well, why am I on a different area? Because I made a decision. I'm not going to do it the way I did before. I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I'm going to be transformed. What does that mean? I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be different. We ought to be completely changing. You know, you ought to be changing continually as a Christian, growing, becoming more and more like Jesus, getting stronger every day. You look back over a year and you say, I'm so glad I'm further. And it's not glorifying you. It's glory. You know, if you're honest and you're doing what we're talking about here, you know it was not you. You know the Word of God came. You know you didn't see exactly how in your mind, but you chose to agree with the Word of God. You chose to say, His Word is true, and I'm going to act like it's true. And then you look back, and His Word came through, and you're different, and you say, thank God it wasn't me, it was Him. Now, it was you agreeing with Him. Because if you try to put it all on Him and say, well, God just changed me, He can't do that without your cooperation. So you did have something to do with it. You gave Him your will. You gave Him, you let His Word be dominant. And you said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I will do it as you say. I agree with your word. And now you know He gave you the strength to do it. He helped you to do it. And now you say, Lord, you helped me. I did that, but it was by your strength. You couldn't say He did it all because He didn't do it all. There's a man part and there's a God part. If it was just up to God, God would have everything fixed for everybody. So we can't say, well, Jesus, just change me. God, just help me. Why haven't you helped me yet? Well, have we yielded to Him? Have we said, Lord, I'm laying this down. Help me. See, sometimes we hold on to things because we like it. We like it this way. There's something about it we like. Even though it hurts us, even though it ends up hurting us in some way, it's not the best. And we know it because people know. We know. But there's something about it we still like. We had to put that just before God too and say, Lord, is part of me, your flesh, likes this. You know, my flesh likes it. I like this, but I, by your strength, I can change that. With your strength, I can change it. I will put that down. Before you, I am going to be changed. I can do it with your strength. You show me how, and I'll do it. You show me the path, and I'll do it. I don't need this person and that person's way to get out and their 10-step plan. Maybe that could help me, but only if it rings a bell and bears witness with what's inside of me. Just because it worked for them does not mean it's going to work for me. What I need is, Lord, you tell me how to get out. And if you quicken to me some parts of what different people said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a quickening on the inside that says, see what that guy said? That's right. You take that, and you take that, and this is how you're going to get out. Just because something worked for some person only meant that was their path out. It doesn't mean that it's going to work for every individual that has a similar condition or similar situation on the earth. But God knows exactly how to get us out where we are. He's not limited. You take Him at His word. You sincerely yield to Him and say, Lord, this is too big for me. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I've dealt with it for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know where I've come from. I know you know I've tried everything that I could to get away from it. Lord, I don't know in and of myself, but you said I could be free. I know your word has a way out, and I know your spirit can help me. So, Lord, I put it all on the table, whatever it takes. I bow to you and say, Lord, you're my Lord. You show me the way out, and I'll do it. And every step you tell me, I'll do it, and I'll change. And if it takes me 1,000 steps, I'll make those 1,000 steps, and I will be yielded to you. And if I fall down, I'll get up, and I'll keep going because I know you can get me out. God will never fail. Ever. He knows exactly the path. What does it take? I'm not going to be conformed. Everybody else may say that's impossible. God says it's possible. I'm going to be changed by renewing my mind to believe that what He said is true, regardless of what my experience tells me, regardless of what my upbringing tells me, regardless about the common wisdom tells me. I will be transformed by changing my mind to line up with what He said. That's how I'm going to win. That's what this is talking about. So I'm not going to be conformed with what everybody else is saying is and is not possible and you can and can't not do. Well, somebody in your condition, they just can't make it. This, you know, they've died. I don't care. God said, I will live and not die. God said he himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I believe him. Now, Lord, show me the next step. Show me what to do next. And as you say it, I'll agree with it. So many people are looking to jump across the room. You know, if I were here, this is 45 feet. Why? If I were to say, I see what the word says, and let's say it's in a certain area, and let's say that wall represents me being in a different place in my life according to the word. Let's say all the way over at that wall represents that picture. Lord, I believe that's where I could go. I believe that's what I can do. Your word says it. Now, I believe it. You know what a lot of people try to do? They try to jump from here over to that wall in a single bound and say, I'm free. Now, I'm not saying God can't do that. God can do anything. That's not the problem. What can you believe? That's the deal. Sure, God can deliver somebody. No problem. He can raise the dead, too. What can you believe? Let me ask you this question. How many of you, and you may have done this in the past, but I'm telling you, typically, when your car, if you have a car, let's just use car for example, you could use your sink, whatever. Let's say your car breaks down. How many of you, your first thought in your mind is to lay hands on the car and have God, let's say you cracked your engine block. I mean, catastrophic. Could God fix that? Does he have the power to fix it? Does he know how?
Absolutely.
Why don't you just ask him to get it done? He can do it, right?
Yes.
Not many people are going to believe he's going to do it now. Well, why then if something goes wrong in your body, you say, well, no, I got to have it this way. I'm not saying you have to rely on doctors. I'm saying, could God fix your body right there?
Yes.
Absolutely. Does he have the power? What's the differentiating factor? It's what can you believe? It's not his power, because if it's up to him, everybody on the world and the earth can be healed right now. What about financially? Does God know right now how to make you a multimillionaire by tomorrow? Seriously, if you knew every transaction that was going to happen in the next 24 hours, you could be. Just take it from here, and then I do this, and you see all the different things, and boom. Could you? Does he have the power to do it? Yeah, but can you believe that's going to happen? Is he going to show you? How are you going to get that knowledge? If that were that easy, God show me. What? No. Is that his will for you? Is he telling you to do that? No. Well, then, what's the problem here? We're at this wall, and we say, I need to be over there. Doesn't matter if you need it. This is where people make a mistake. I need it. Okay? What does that have to do with it? That's... God already sent his son Jesus to die for you and already paid for it. The problem, he knows you need it, and the fact is he already answered you, and he sent you everything that you need in Jesus. Now, the thing is, I want it manifest in my life, and I'm here, and that's the wall. How am I going to get there? You know what Christians do over and over? I'm going to do this in one single bound. But if you were to ask me right now, can I jump 45 feet from standing still, I'd say absolutely not. I don't know that there's a human alive that can do that. That doesn't have some bionic power, right? It's impossible. But Christians, their faith isn't there. They don't believe. If you ask them, is this what's going to happen? You're going to pray and that's going to be, well, I hope so. That's not the same as faith. You're hoping God's going to intervene somehow. Why? Because you really need it. Because you're going to die without it. That, unfortunately, that's not faith. Did you hear me?
Yes.
It's not faith. You know what faith would say if it really believed? No, it's going to happen. You lay hands on me, it's happening now. And it's not talk, it's believe. No, this is what's going to happen. You're convinced, but you have to be convinced. If you're like, well, I don't know, I don't really think so, but this is what the guy on the tape said, or you know, the message, and he's talked about faith and laying on hands, so work for him, so let's give it a try. Doesn't happen that way. I said it does not happen that way. That's not faith. Faith is being fully persuaded. Faith is believing that it's going to happen. You know, you believe it's going to happen. You know what most people do? Just try it anyway. You know, they try to jump and they end up about here and like, God, what happened? Why didn't you do it? So what we're saying is it's on God's side. It's God's problem. No, it's not God's problem. It's not, God has no problem being over there. He has no problem recreating your car. He has no problem recreating your body. He has no problem getting you any amount of money that you need. That's not the problem. It's what can we believe? All things are possible to him who believes. Not him who quotes somebody else or tries real hard or needs a miracle. Some people say, well, that's hard. That puts it all on me. No, it doesn't. It puts it on you to believe what he said. Well, I've tried. It's not trying. And this is where the renewing of the mind comes in. I have to change my mind in order to line up with what he said. Because number one, if you believed what he said and it hasn't manifested or you haven't seen it, why do you think it's not working? Because you don't see it? That would mean you're walking by sight. We're not going to even go down this path, but this is part of it. We've taught on this on Wednesdays. That's an indication that you're looking at the wrong thing. But people will go and they'll try this over and over. They'll keep trying to make the leap. They'll just keep trying to make the leap. And it's like, doesn't work. Well, somebody else is in town. They're preaching. Maybe I can get them to do it. And they try it and it doesn't work. I've tried it. It just doesn't work. Forget this faith stuff. But you know, more often than not, if you'll start here and you say, Lord, I need to be over there. I know I do. That's what your word says. Now, rather than trying to make it the whole way, if I'll go, Lord, what's the next step? Show me what to do now. I know that's where I need to be. What do I do now? And he will tell you by his spirit and his word, do this, do such and such. And now you have a choice. Am I going to do it? Or do I say, I don't know if I can? If it's the Lord and it's up with the word and you take it, you just came closer to that. And you say, Lord, I'm here now. Show me the next step. And he'll show you to make an adjustment. And you may say, I got those. You need to make an adjustment. And here it is. Well, I don't know if I can do it. No, I don't know. Well, what happened right there? He told you to do something. You said, no, I can't. Where are you? You're stuck. I don't know. I don't see how. You're stuck. How are you going to get to where your mind or where you take the step? You have to be convinced that's what you need to do. You have to take it by faith. And your mind will fight you. Well, no, you can't do that. There's no way. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if somebody laughs at you? Where are you? You're stuck. Where do you need to be? There. God, just bring me over there. Get it done. What did he tell you to do? He told you to do this. But I can't do that. But I want to be over there. But he just told you to do something. But I can't do that. Where are you? You're stuck. This is where a lot of Christians are. It is not, I listened to a CD and I said, oh, that's that. I heard about faith and that's what it is. I'm just going to say it like that. But God is saying, son, daughter, take this step. And you know what a lot of people do? No, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. And you know, there's all kinds of things that come in. Well, I just can't. Or somebody said, and they have excuses. I'm not trying to be mean, but all of us have done this, fallen into this. And the bottom line is, I won't do what he told me to do because I can't see it with my natural mind how it's going to work. And what, you know what the answer is? You said that? So we talk about, we all amended a little bit ago. The word is truth. I believe the word. The word will set us free. But when the word comes, and it can come by his spirit, or it can come by the word in black and white, the holy written word, when it says, do such and such, and it comes smack up against what your mind is telling you, and your unrenewed mind says, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't see how to do that. Nobody's ever done that. You have a problem. You're stuck because your mind tells you you can't, and God tells you you can. How we need to change our mind. That's when we need to look at the word and say, God, help me. My mind is having trouble with this. I need to renew my mind. Change my mind so I can be transformed. So when he tells me do it, I'm at the place, it might take a little bit of time where I get over this hump, but I finally said, Lord, I see it, I'm doing it, and now I just took a step and I'm closer. Now, I'm not saying it has to take 3 years to go this way. If we'll keep saying yes, if we'll agree with him, then it can look like this. He tells us we do. He tells us we do. We keep going. We keep getting better. We don't let up. We might even take a stutter, but we get right back on and we keep going. And then pretty soon we look up and we're standing here and we say, glory to God, you brought me out. You helped me. You did it. I didn't see how, but I'm out. I'm free. That's under my feet. It's gone. It's a distant memory. I don't like to think about it. But on the other hand, thank God I went past it. It wasn't your will, but I'm here now. And if the next thing comes, I'm going right over it just the same way. Lord, you have a way. You have an answer. Lord, you give me the step and I can do it. Is this hard? Can everybody, if you were, nobody in here can jump 45 feet, but everybody in here can take this step. God will never ask you to do something you cannot do. Praise God. What does it take? What's the problem? Right here. It's between our ears. Our mind will tell us, I can't. No, it's too hard. It's too much. But God's word, if we'll act on it, if we'll do it, if we'll just say, no, mine, shut up. I'm choosing to believe. See, you might take a few runs at it. You try to visualize yourself being over there and you're thinking, I just can't see. If you'll just say no, God said that I can be free. So you start seeing yourself free of that. You start seeing yourself free of that thing that's bound you. You start seeing yourself different. You meditate on it. This is a good meditation. A lot of junk floating around. Meditate on nothing. You open yourself up to bad things that way. But you thinking about the Word of God, meditating on what the Word says, visualizing what the Word says, seeing yourself with what the Word says you can have, seeing yourself the way the Word describes you, you are changing your mind. You are renewing your mind. How are you renewing it? It says in Ephesians, you are being renewed in the spirit of your mind and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, you have it already provided by the Lord God through Jesus and you start putting it on through renewing your mind. You start partaking of what he gave us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we become transformed. We become changed. We become different because of what he said, because we decided to act on it, because we decided to see things the way he sees it. Glory to God.